I do rejoice that fellow got saved with Pastor. Yesterday we were down in Red Wing, and we crossed paths with a 15-year-old young man by the name of Gio. And he realized he was a sinner and on his way to hell, and then realized that God loved him, and Jesus Christ died for him and shed his blood and paid for his sins and asked him to save him. So Gio got saved yesterday too. So fruits of the righteous is a tree of life, and the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. So I love the fish. I love the fish for fish, but I also love the fish for souls too. And it's, what's so funny is I was out looking for lost things. I was metal detecting. And he asked me, he said, "Hey, you found anything?" I said, "Oh, just a few coins." I said, "Have you been found?" I said to him, "Well, you're going somewhere right now, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know where you're going?" "Yeah." I said, "So you're not lost?" "No." I said, "When you pass away, do you know where you're going to go?" "No." "Then you're lost." So he needed directions, amen. He got directions. The gospel is not hard. What a privilege. If you'd open your Bibles this morning to James chapter number 1, how many of you would agree with me that there's drugs in the Bible? Are there drugs in the Bible? Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you would consider wine a drug. It could also be medicinal, but the Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And it's not wise to drink wine. It'll lead to other things. And we don't want to get the message off to an uncanny start right off the bat, but the truth is truth, right? And there, you know, I don't know, I didn't look up if there were some other drugs in the Bible, but we're going to find a drug that's very damning and that leads to death. Right here in James chapter number 1. Title of my message today is LSD. And you look at me kind of quizzically saying, LSD, is LSD in the Bible? Oh yeah, it's in the Bible. Look with me if you will here to James chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death." Did you see LSD in that verse right there, verse number 15? LSD, lust, sin, and death. That's what I want to preach to you this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you for the privilege to be here today. Father, I pray that above all things you'd be glorified. We thank you for the Sunday school, as well as the Sunday schools that the young kids heard. We praise you. We thank you for your book. Lord, we've come to try to hear from you. It's definite that we're in a battle. And Lord, our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Lord, you said redeem the time, for the days are evil. So we pray that this time would be a time of redemption. And Lord, it'd be a time that you'd speak to us, Lord, and deal with us, our hearts and our heads, and help us when it comes to this topic of lust, sin, and death. We thank you and pray that you'd order this service now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. LSD. LSD is found. It's found right here in the book of James. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And lust, sin, and death. And what we're going to do is just take a quick overview of those verses and trying to get some understanding out of them. But I looked up what LSD is, and there's people in here that have tried LSD. There's people in here that haven't, and thank God if you haven't. But LSD is, and I didn't take Latin to be able to pronounce all these names of what LSD is, and I'm not educated or nothing, so bear with me just a minute. LSD is a crystalline compound can be prepared from natural EGOT alkaloids, or it can be prepared synthetically, which make up this drug. LSD is a lysergic acid and a diethylamide, and it's a psychedelic drug, okay? And just to take a pause for a minute, isn't it sad what's going on in our communities with these drugs? Yeah, I think the Bible says that in the last times there's going to be some pharmaceuticals that are running rampant and taking the minds of people and causing them to go on a, what would you say, a trip. Yeah. Drugs will make you do crazy things, won't they? They'll bring you outside of yourself. That's, I think, what they call alcohol is they call alcohol liquid courage. Amen? But LSD is a psychedelic drug. LSD affects, its effects include intensified thoughts, emotions, sensory perceptions. LSD can cause mental, visual, and hearing hallucinations. Okay? So some of the street names for LSD is Acid, Boomers, Mellow Yellow, Looney Tunes, Lucy May. It's also called a hit of acid. A micro dot, yellow sunshine. I guess there's a song out there that could be said, they call me mellow yellow. You know, I wonder where that inspiration came from. And it's said about LSD that it can take you on a trip. Lust and sin and temptation can take you on a trip as well, amen? LSD, they say it'll take you on a trip. Maybe you remember John Lennon wrote a song that's called Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD. For the longest time, I thought that's just what it was. That was those acronyms, LSD, because that's what you associate the Beatles with, right? You associate the Beatles with drugs and things of that nature. And that's not why he wrote the song. One of his children painted a painting for him, and in that it had stars, and it had a child up in those stars, and it was all that stuff. And so he wrote that song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Okay, but it's an amazing thing. John Lennon said when it comes to LSD and drugs and what they did, he said happiness is at the end of a warm gun. Now I'm going to preach on lust, sin, and death. John Lennon said happiness is that they wrote a song, I believe, happiness is at the end of a warm gun. Now that's either one of two things. That's either, that was just to try to be PG here, that was with the relationships with Ono, I think her name was, or it was when he was putting that hypodermic needle into his arm, because when you put that brown sugar in there, sometimes it says that it burns. There's another song out there by the name of Brown Sugar. The Rolling Stones, I think, put it together, didn't they? You know, isn't it amazing that when people have talent and then they get some stardom and then they get some money, you think they'd have everything, man? Lust, sin, and death, temptation. That's just how when the world offers that stuff, it just says, I need a little more. Hey, young kid, you just need some music. Hey, young kid, you just need a cigarette. Hey, young kid, you just need that girl. Hey, young kid, you just need that joint. Hey, young kid, you just need that alcohol. No, now you need that meth. No, now you need that cocaine. No, now we got to get a preacher because you're laid out in a box. Well, I guess John Lennon said about your Savior, I'll outlive Jesus Christ. He did, 40 years old when he died. He's also the one that said, I'll outlive that garlic-eating spick bastard. That's what John Lennon said, because he thought he was a god. He thought he was something else. Well, I guess he found out what the end of a warm gun felt like. 40 years old, one of his fans took him out while high on drugs. excuse me. So look with me, if you will, here in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 6. And I'd like to just get some learning out of these things and try to be a help to you. I'll get right to the end of the message. We'll just go eat. How about that? I came out of a life of that. And I can tell you this. That temptation and lust and sin causes suffering. It causes sorrow. It causes separation. And it makes you to surrender to that thing where that's, and some of you can recollect with me in here today, it makes you surrender that thing that's all, that's what you think about. It runs your life. It steals your life. And that's what you find right here in this text. In that temptation, you have either life or you have death. And you want to know who the proprietor of that whole thing is when it comes down to it? It's God that's bringing temptation into your life so that you can show Him you love Him by beating that temptation through your obedience. And then in that thing, we'll find out that's how you get life in this life. Look at it. But the devil is, he's the god of this world also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lowercase g. The god of this world also has his pills that he puts forth, his powers that he tempts with, and he's very good at it. But us Christians have a more powerful pill. Us Christians have, we have something. Jesus Christ said, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. And that's what the god of this world does with LSD and with those drugs. He draws. I know men that have sat in this church that are up in heaven today due to taking LSD and due to taking drugs. Look at verse number 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. To spiritualize things, I know that in Matthew chapter 24, 25, the Lord says, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now that's for those Jews, but you and I have some enduring to do as Christians. Yeah. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, that temptation comes, but you can get life through beating that temptation through enduring. But the motive, if you look at the end of that verse, the motive has to be love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The motive has to be love in order to beat that temptation. I mean, that's what you find in the Garden of Eden. Haven't you ever asked yourself the woman, Eve that was placed in the garden, why did God allow the devil to come in the way he allowed him to come in? The Lord allowed that. The Lord allowed Satan in that garden to tempt her. Listen, Eve had the words that her husband Adam gave to her. Now our husband has given us some words, and he's allowed the god of this world to tempt you and I. In that, through that temptation, as we have our husband's words to protect ourselves with, as he protected himself in Matthew chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4, when Satan stepped in into his scene in the wilderness and tempted Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ backed Satan off three times with the Word of God. That's why Satan doesn't want Americans to read the Word of God. He knows that that's the thing that can defeat him in temptation. I'll ask 10 out of 10 people on the streets. I'll give you $100 if you can name the Ten Commandments. I'll give you 50 if you can name 5 of them. In American Christian, you know, Christian America, you know what the answer is? Crickets. Well, wait a minute. That law is the thing that you're responsible for to kind of know, to see if you've broken it or not broken it. Who would not want you to know the law and what you're responsible for? I think his name is Satan. But it says there, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Look at verse number 15. Here's the other side of that thing. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. David said, there is but one step between me and death. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, I set before you a blessing and a cursing. And then it also says, choose life. Amen. Choose life. The things of this world, although we have to live in this world, and the luxuries of what the devil and what Satan in this world wants to throw at you is fake fruit. How do you know that? Because once you get this, you need this. That job right there with that pay, I've got it, I'm covered. Look what, it's fake fruit. So, in verse number 12, if you're able to endure temptation, you get life. Listen, those tests come in your life. I wish I could remember what that song says, that every test that he dials up on our life, day by day, that song, I'm not getting it right now. The Lord brings tests and trials and temptations your way so that you can prove your love back to him on a daily basis. Look at verse number 14 with me. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man, that's all humanity is tempted. There's no exceptions. We're all tempted. Last I knew that Berean Bible Baptist Church was filled with a bunch of sinners. Yeah. Y'all a bunch of sinners. Amen. Does that hurt your feelings when I call you a sinner? It shouldn't. That's the best thing that you could ever hear, sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinners. Yeah. We're a bunch of saved sinners, amen. You know, you have people out there, they say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved, right? I say, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. Oh, say, so what you're saying is you can just kind of go out and do anything that you want and you're still going to go to heaven. Well, I mean, yeah, you can. You're going no matter if you like it or not. You see, the problem is that you don't understand is I don't have God as my judge anymore. I've got God as my Father. And my Father knows how to take care of someone that just wants to go out and live the way they want to live. That'll come to an end quick, although He is very merciful and long-suffering.
Yeah,
amen. But it says there, but every man is tempted. Every man's tempted. There's no exemptions. There's no exceptions. Every man's tempted. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there is none good, no, not one. You hand a person a gospel tract, what's the first thing oftentimes they'll say? I'm what? Take an O out of it. What you got? I'm God. Amen. I'm good. No, you're not. I'll say to them, really? And I'll just turn around and walk away. I'll let them think about that just a little bit. You know? That's kind of some of the rudeness of Jesus Christ you find in His life. Some of the rudeness. I was going to preach a message to you. I would have got shot for it. It was a 3D dimension of Jesus Christ. Jesus the jerk, Jesus the gentleman, and Jesus the judge. You look at Jesus Christ's life. You look at Jesus Christ's life. Sometimes He was a jerk. I can't believe Brother Butler just said that. Listen, He can take care of Himself, all right? He knows what I'm talking about, amen? He was rude sometimes, man. I'm not going to go into it. It says there, but every man is tempted. There's no exemptions. There's no exceptions. Look at verse number 14. Again, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word when signifies a time to be tempted. Now listen to me. You're tempted. You're tempted in small things. I'm not talking about the robbery of a bank. You're tempted in areas of anger. You're tempted in areas of selfishness. You're tempted in areas of things that you want to do. But the Bible says when. That signifies when a man is tempted. You know, I got to thinking about it. Do you know when a man is not tempted? When you're asleep. Now, you may have some crazy dreams. Help me out. But you're not responsible for those dreams. The Bible says when. That's when you're tempted. You are not. You give God a break when you go to bed. You're not tempted when you sleep. You know what that means? When you're asleep, that's a picture of death. You say, Brother Butler, what learning can I get out of that thing? When you sleep, that's a picture of death. The Bible says to mortify the deeds of the body. The Bible says, I am dead in Christ. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When you're dead, when you die, listen, that voice comes to you in the morning. You know just as well as I do that you might put it to bed right there and die to it right there. But when you get off of work and you're slack time and sometimes, you know, you're not busy with your mind, all of a sudden you get that slack time and that thing goes. Yeah, doesn't it? Right there. Listen, dead men tell no tales. Dead men can't. Next time you hear a dead person, you know, you go up to the coffin and say, hey, Joe, how you doing? And he steps up out of that thing. You better run fast. You have to die. Shows a time, and when you're sleeping, when you're dead, the Bible says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. You've got a problem with, you're looking at something wrong, die to that thing and don't go around it to the place where you can see it. You have temptations at school. You got temptations on your phone. Don't get around those things. It's gonna draw you into it. And it's gonna bring this form of death into your life that represents darkness. Where God, the Bible says, in 1 John it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, brother, it's either you're walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. God would have you and I to walk in light because the Bible, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But the devil and this world represents walking in darkness. That when it's a demarcation of time. Look again in verse number 14. But every man is tempted when? When he is drawn away of his own lust. You know, it's a sad thing that you hear about kids walking down the sidewalks and someone's in a van and they're over there and they're saying, hey, what do you want to do with that type of person? And they abduct that child. Hey, let me ask you something, Christian. How does your father think? And what does he think when he sees abduction of his own kids when they are drawn away? Yeah. Man, it makes him sad. Man, it grieves him. It grieves him. Temptation has the power to draw you away. This is good. I like this. I might just end this message on them last 2 points. Dying to self in this right here. This is help. Temptation, it says right there, has a way to draw you away of your own lust. That's your lust. Your lust and your temptations are different than mine and your temptations. And the thing about the Christian life is this, brothers and sisters, you're going to want to win in these smaller temptations in your life. Abraham had to win in some small temptations in his life. And then it came to a point in time in his life where God could trust him. And I'll get back to that thing of being drawn away. But it got to that point in Abraham's life where Abraham was tempted. And he said, hey, Abraham, God said, hey, Abraham, I've got another temptation for you. And it's dealing with the very thing that you love and I gave you by promise. It's actually a miracle. And I'm going to ask you to go sacrifice your Isaac because I see that you've won in some of these smaller temptations in your life. See, that's how God does things. God's not going to ask you to do the big things in your life until he can see that you're able to do some of the smaller things. That's just because God's a God of order. Oftentimes we can learn from business and how business is run that actually can be incorporated sometimes into the Christian life because there's some common sense there. But temptation has the power to draw you, and that's what James says right there, away from one place to another. You remember how you used to go there, but then all of a sudden you found yourself there? Well, that was a power that was drawing you. So in order to beat temptation, don't go. And listen, if I had them kids come up here and they're trying to draw me one way or another, and I'm standing like this. Doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 6 we're to stand? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness in heavenly places. He says, above all these things, stand. Stand, therefore, having your armor on. Aren't we supposed to do that? We got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the sword of the Spirit, that's your offensive weapon, which is the word of God. But what else does he say? He says stand, but he says praying always. Listen, if those kids were going to if I let those kids come up here and pull on me, they could draw me, right? And then as I stand right here, that would be pretty easy, right? Because of my pendulum or whatever that is. I just got past algebra. I never got into geometry, so I don't know all that stuff. But you see what I'm saying? You see how high I am as I'm standing? And if I'm going to be drawn, you know where a hard place is going to be if you're going to try to draw me? Lower center of gravity. You're going to have a harder time drawing me away if I'm down, praying always with all prayer and supplication, praying for all men everywhere, especially me, because I'm going to enter into that palace and I got something to say. You see what LSD does? They say it gets you what? In the Christian life, the way up is, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he will. LSD gets you high. LSD takes you up. LSD wants to steal your life. LSD wants to take the will of God right from away from you. Those temptations and those things. Hey, listen, if you've got some friends that are tempting you and causing you to want to do wrong and causing you to want to disobey God or whatever it is, those aren't friends. They don't have your best interests at heart. Those you mark it down. Those are fair weather friends. And if you're saved in here, I guarantee you from what I've experienced, and you want to do what you want to do to be accepted with the in crowd, it's going to be like water and oil, brother. And you're going to get hurt. And that spirit inside of those lost people, they know that you're saved. And they're going to run you down. And they're going to walk all over you. They're not friends. So what do you do to beat temptation? You don't go. Temptation, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation has a way to draw. As I mentioned before, the gospel and the word of God and prayer and fellowship with God and walking with God. I mean, there was one man in the Old Testament that walked with God, and he pleased God so well that God just drew him right up into heaven. But the God of this world has a constant power and a draw. You need to turn the lights out on that fella. Turn the lights out on temptation. As I mentioned, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. As I said, the devil has LSD. The devil has a pill. We got a pill too. It's called the gospel. You associate yourself with the gospel, and some of that temptation will wane. It'll wane. Something else that I'd like to look at, again in verse number 14, lust is used to draw human beings away, and it's personalized, as I mentioned, his own lust. And I said that before, but just very briefly, what is lust? I don't think I have to go over it too much. Carnal desire, desire eagerly to gratification of a carnal appetite, to have irregular or inordinate affections or desires, eagerness to possess or to strive after gain. Oh, hey, America. I think that it's still in the Bible. If we're talking about lust here, the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. The gospel is more expensive than a $100 bill. And you want to know something? Living for the gospel and being in fellowship with Jesus Christ and being in fellowship with God in prayer and being entrusted with the gospel and all those things that goes with the Christian life, you couldn't buy that with all the gold in the world. Lust is used to draw human beings away. Lust is a craving. Lust is a greed. Lust is sensuality. I mean, it talks about, talking about the love of money, it says it drowns men in perdition. Drowning. All these athletes over there and all these Hollywood stars, man, you know what they're all doing? They got, I don't know about the athletes so much, but I know about all the Hollywood stars and I know about all the rock stars. I mean, Elvis Presley, the king, he died on a toilet. The king. While reading a book about God, the king died on his throne, fell face first while reading a book about God. After having ingested drug after drug, he had millions and millions and millions of dollars. You think he would have had it all? He had nothing. A pauper, the king. Again, in verse number 14, man is, it says there that he's drawn away of his own lust. And enticed. You say, what's enticement? Being attracted, being beguiled, coaxed, baited, seduced. Enticement. Enticement is that thing that has to do with the imagination. You know, the temptation's there, the stage is set, and then all of a sudden the lust is there. And then the enticement is that thing that kind of makes you go, oh yeah, oh I can feel it. But yet you don't have it in your hands yet. It's that thing about sin, if I can remember it, it says that, I had it last night, that says a presentation, what is it? Illumination, debate, decision. Sin is this thing that it presents itself, it illuminates itself, you debate on it, and then you make a decision. Brothers and sisters, when you get to the debate thing, and when you start debating that thing, and like Eve started talking into that jackrabbit back there, and start talking with that dude, he's got you. No, you don't let the illumination set in. You cut it off. You stop it because it doesn't have your best interests at heart. Enticed. Enticement has to do with the imagination. The Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down. To be enticed, enticement has to do with the imagination. You're sold on how something could make you feel or look or while experience it before it's in your possession. Enticement. It's what causes you to make the decision to eat the fruit or to take the bait or to perform the action. I don't like car lots and I don't like car salesmen.
Amen.
No. Can I say this? You know them little dogs. You ever seen that? What they do when they're excited besides pee on your leg? They do something else, man. On your leg, whatever. To keep it PG, I just relax, will you? Oh, you'd look good in that. Oh, that's a 74 valve. It'll go 190, one here and two set. Why don't you just stop it? Don't sell me, man. Just relax, yo. You got me looking, you know, you got me looking at the Porsche and I'm out here to buy a VW Bug. Will you stop? Oh no, you got good credit. Just come on. Hey, isn't our country in a bad credit scenario with all these people on credit cards? Have it now. It's Burger King. Do it your way, you know? Credit card. Hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, the thing is, you know how many fishing rods I got? I'm talking about enticement. How many fishing rods can I fish with, man? I got two hands. Do you know how many I have in the garage? Brother Edmire was very good to us, man. Nathan just mentioned something. Brother Edmire brought us 5 fishing rods. Enticement.
Yeah.
Enticement. Oh, I got to have that one. Oh, I got to have that one. Enticement. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You want to know one way to beat temptation? It's by being content with the things that you have currently.
Amen.
You know when you can be content is when you ain't got nothing. And you want to know something? When you ain't got nothing and it's caused you to chew on gravel and it's caused you to cry and it's caused you to go hungry, you know that you're at the right spot, at that you're in an intersection with God. Because that's when you'll need God. So one way to win at temptation is to be content with such things as you have. Paul said, in whatsoever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content. Contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's hard for you and I, Americans, man. We are rich, rich, rich people. Do you know that? We don't know that because we don't really know what it's like down in Mexico. We don't really know what it's like in El Salvador. We don't really know what it's like possibly up in Canada, which isn't so bad. But we don't know what it's like over in Saudi Arabia. We don't know what it's like. Well, we're kings. We live lavishly. And we get the poochy lip when our TV don't work. We get the poochy lip when you got to wait too long at the Caribou. Contentment. Oh, mercy. You know why I can say those things? Because I've experienced those things, brother. Listen to me. I was at the Caribou the other day. And they say that thing on there. All I got was a coffee and a little scone. This is, I'm telling the truth. I'm not preaching now. I put the thing in there and the money. And then there's only one girl back there. It's not busy. She's got one little order ahead of her. And then it says, do you want to leave a tip? And I said, no, I'm not going to leave a tip. She looked back at me and she saw on the screen that I didn't leave a tip. She took my coffee and my scone and she had an order ahead of her. She set it right there on the counter. I'm 5 feet away, 6 feet away from that thing, but it's behind the counter. She did their drinks, gave their drinks, and then went, have a nice day. And, you know, temptation and lust, all that stuff, I wanted to come out of me. I wasn't content. Enticed. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Look at that. But look at verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So there's some conception there. Something is brought forth. What does conception mean? Something's brought forth. Mom, Dad, I got to talk to you. What's wrong with you? I ain't feeling so good. Those Friday night football games. The Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth. It brings forth something that might carry out into eternity with you. It brings forth like the birth of a baby. It brings forth an idea, a project, a plan, or a decision. What does it bring forth? It brings forth sin. Then when lust hath conceived, one party has gotten together with another party, and the other party has convinced this party, you need what I got. Well, I really don't know. Yeah, no, you really do need what I got. Yeah? Yeah, no, yeah. And now two have just become one, and there's some conception there. Something is brought forth. What's brought forth? Where the Bible says right there, sin is brought forth. And I'm going to try to make this just as simple as possible. You say, what is sin? Well, in your life and my life, it can be different. That's why around here I appreciate, we don't preach standards, right? God is in control of your standards, amen? And how you want to walk and all that stuff. God's in control of that stuff. But then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And as I mentioned before, I think we're all a bunch of sinners in here, amen? But the thing about it is, are you still a sinner? Do you still sin? Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Kind of a sensitive area. I realize that. But what are those sins if there's lust? And then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin is finished, brings forth death. What is that sin in your life? Now, you're not going to, you see, the thing about it is this. Satan cannot get your soul if you're saved in here today. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen? Because, number one, you're already spiritually dead. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you're not saved, you're spiritually dead. I tell the people on the streets, is it possible today that you're alive on the outside, but you're dead on the inside? Yeah, that's why you've never heard your father's voice. And you only obey another father and those things that you do. And that's why you're lost. But if you're not saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding that your sins are going to send you to hell and that God loved you and that his son died for you and shed his blood to pay for your sins and that salvation is a free gift, you take him, he'll take you. Okay? But what is that sin in your life? What does it do to the Christian? It separates fellowship with God. And the longer it goes, as things go out, the magnetism of that spirit and what the Spirit of God's trying to do, it just continues to get a little weaker, a little weaker, a little weaker, a little weaker, a little weaker. The voice gets a little shorter, a little less, a little less, a little less, a little less, a little less. And before long, you're not feeling the conviction about that sin. And before long, the Bible says that you get calloused. Amen? But what is sin? It can be a lot of things, but I'll tell you this. Oftentimes we say, what's the first word that a baby learns? Is it positive? The first word that a baby learns, man, is no. It's negative. It's negative. And you say, well, why don't do that? And why don't do that? And why don't do that? And why don't do that? That's like that good ruler that came to Jesus and said, good master, what may I do that I can have eternal life? And the Lord said, well, do this and do this and do this. Don't do this and do this, do this. About six things there. The young man said, I've done all those things. And the Bible says about that young man, it says, and the Lord greatly loved him. And he said, oh, one other thing. Sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and follow me. And what did that fella do? He turned around and he was depressed. And the Bible says that he didn't follow the Lord because he had great possessions. God had all of his heart just right here. And the Lord knew that and looked in on that man and knew that that was going to be something, a temptation that he was going to wrestle with. And he had to turn around and go away. You know what? I hope he did it and got back with the Lord. The Bible doesn't say so, but we might learn that up in heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
But What is, you know, okay, so there's some sins. Lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Well, that sin in your life, the Bible talks about some sins. The Bible talks about some sins of omission, things that you're not doing that God would have you to do, but yet there's some sins of commission, right? There's some things that God doesn't want you to do. Now, the problem is this, and I'm going to get going here. Very simply, what you have to understand as a Christian, let me ask you something. You're saved in here today, amen? Say amen. Amen? Okay. That means that you were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in both your body and in your spirit. Amen? You're a purchased possession by Jesus Christ. Paul said, the servant of Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be. And as Americans, that's hard for us. Do you realize Spanish people do not have a problem taking the place of servitude? They come from Shem. They do not have a problem. And sometimes they're hard workers, man. And those people that, again, they come from a place where they have nothing, and then you give them just a little more, they're Johnny on the spot. They're wanting to get it done. Just like that. But you're purchased with a price. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he said again to that very religious man, Nicodemus, he said, again I say, verily, verily, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you're saved in here today, you are in a kingdom. Can you, listen, I was thinking about this coming to church today. Do you know all the fanfare that the whole world possibly saw for that queen dying over in England? That was royal, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, what is the news media going to do when a real king steps on the scene? Yeah. I mean, whatever you want to do, and I'm not talking politics, but you saw what the news media did with a man that spoke like a man in our last president. They wanted to, they threw him under the bus continually. You say, what am I trying to say? You're a purchased possession. What is your sin? I'm going to try to help you see what that thing is. What is your sin? You're in a kingdom. And I understand that a kingdom has a king. I understand that a kingdom has a ruler. Who's the ruler in the kingdom of God today? If God's up there as a father, and Jesus is on his right hand, and there's only a trinity, three, that only leaves one more person, that's the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. So listen, who's your king today that demarcates to you what sin is in your life? See? You say, what is sin? Sin, the Bible says that that sin, who in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And I'll say it again, I'd like to ask you today, and Christian, you are under a law today. You're in a kingdom with a king, with the Spirit of God hopefully governing things. You should be under a law. What's a country without a law? What's a state without a law? What's a home without some law laid down in it? Anarchy. Look at Romans chapter number 8, if you would, please. You're under a law. And so what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to get to is that the Holy Spirit wants to establish a law in your life. Hey, listen, did Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8, did Jesus Christ keep the law? Who said perfectly? That made him holy. That made him righteous. That made him to have the ability to beat what? Death. Although the Bible says about Jesus Christ, he tasted death for every man, but could death keep him down? So because he kept the law, and the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy, right? Because Jesus Christ kept the law, he established holiness. And then God says to you and I, we're supposed to be holy. How do you know how to be holy unless what you know the lines of demarcation are for you? Because the law represents a line drawn in the sand for you in your Christian life. See? But you see, a Christian that's up here in age that has grown from a baby has different lines of demarcation than just a little baby Christian has. You see that? So you and I are under a law today, and it's the law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's, he wants to establish that line with you. And if you break that law, then you've sinned against God, and then you have to go back to God and confess that thing. You say, what am I talking about? I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about LSD. I'm talking about lust and sin and death. You see, when you die to the body, you get life. When you die to your desires, you get life. The other side of the thing is when you live for the world and you live for yourself, it says, that's the life! Miller Life! Budweiser! That's the end of my message. You know what I came out of? Hold on. I'm gonna be done. Romans chapter number 8. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. The Holy Spirit wants to establish a law in your life. We're not under the Mosaic law. We're under the dictates and what the Holy Ghost would have you do with grace according to this book. There is therefore, in verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Is that true? Have you ever seen a saved man that's a beggar because he didn't do what God wanted him to do and he's a Jonah? Do you think Jonah lived in condemnation in his life before he got to the place where he was supposed to go? Yes, he did. But yet he was one of God's servants. There's a lot of saved people that are living in condemnation because they're living after the flesh and not, they're not living after the Spirit of God. And so that's what it's your and our business to do, is to be in fellowship with the Holy Ghost of God and to be lit up by God and to have that oil and to be able to go to that Christian that is living in condemnation and get some of that darkness off of him, get some of that devil off him so he can get a breath, so he can get some traction, so he can get some life. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life, look at that. Hey Christian, you're under a law. You do have some responsibility after you got saved and Jesus Christ purchased you with his blood. You are under a law. It's a law, it says right there, the Spirit of life. That's the Holy Ghost of God. You see that? The Spirit of life. It matches James chapter 1. In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and... Hey, doesn't that last word show up in James chapter 1? Lust, sin, and death. Very simply, what is sin? Sin in your life as a saved person is when you grieve, when you disobey the Holy Spirit of God and what He has set up in your life for you. You say, what's the Bible say? To him that knoweth to do good, to him it is sin. Sin. All right. Go back to James. I'm going to give you an illustration and I'm going to be done. Look, go, James chapter 1. It's pretty amazing what I saw here that correlates with somebody else. Look at James chapter 1. Verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin when it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. You know anybody else that might have mentioned that? As the Bible says, he died for our sins. And he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, when is sin going to be done in a man's life, when it brings him to death? But you want to know something? God can use that. Because the sooner you get to the end of your rope, the sooner you're going to need God. Amen? I'll close by saying this. You know what sin will, as I mentioned before, sin will cause you to surrender. Sin will cause you to sorrow. Sin will bring separation. And sin will bring suffering. You say, how's that illustrated in your life, brother? My mom grew up in Spencer, Iowa. She grew up in an upper middle class home with some very respectable parents. 100% Scotch was my adopted grandfather. My mother and her sister were put in a boys and girls home because her mom and dad were both drunks, and then her dad went out and hung himself a little later. So my mom was adopted and came from a very, very respectable home, and her parents wanted her to marry a doctor, marry a dentist. They had it all lined out. They were part of the Lions Club and blah, blah, blah. Her mother was, in society down there and had a knitting shop and very proper, 100% Norwegian, yeah. And so when she got to be about 17, she went from Spencer as a nice, respectable young lady, always dressed well and educated, blah, blah, blah. She went from Spencer down to Cedar Rapids, Iowa to spend the summer with her aunt and uncle. And one day when she's walking the dog, she came across a fella that was standing out there, and it was James Dean. That was actually Jimmy Butler. And old James Dean had his white t-shirt on, had his jeans on, rolled up, white socks, had the cigarettes in the shirt, and not only that, but had a brand new 59 Corvette, red and white, convertible with chrome to beat the band. Would you say that's a little bit of eye candy? Oh, P.S., he had the D.A. too. And he saw her and she saw him, and you know the rest of the story. LSD, lust, sin, and death. Well, he started bringing her to parties, started teaching her how to drink. Very respectable young lady. Started showing her how to smoke, dance. And when I came up, my mom was surrendered to the thing that my dad taught her. She could drink a fifth of Bacardi through the week, and she could drink a Texas fifth on the weekends. Rum and Coke, Benson and Hedges. She couldn't get away from it. It got so bad coming up through life. And my mom had a respectable job. She ran a three-color printing press down in Cedar Rapids. She ran that thing for many, many, many years. Old German woman, hard-working woman. Drunk as a skunk at night, sitting at the table smoking her cigarettes and listening to the radio player there, Randy Travis. I love the Rainy Nights and Patsy Cline and Waylon Jennings and all those songs of fools. And as my dad was out running around on her and having illegitimate children and all that craziness, she'd be at the table saying, oh, Jim, just crying her eyes out. Sorrow. So she was surrendered to the booze. I remember going to the liquor store. I'd say, Mom, you already got one at home. Yeah, but Dad might find that one. I'm going to hide this one. And he'd come in, blankety blank, you're drunk again. Oh, blankety blank, blankety blank. He'd go searching around. He'd find the bottle on the table, and my mom would be at the kitchen table. You know, one fear that I grew up with as a kid, that no kid should have to have this fear? We lived in a two-bedroom apartment, and my mom oftentimes would be down there with that cigarette. You know how many burns were on the carpet? You know how many burns were on the tablecloth? Young kid upstairs, all you can think about. In our apartment complex, I had seen apartment after apartment after apartment burn because of the nastiness that we lived in. I don't think a young kid should have to live with thinking you're going to catch on fire because your mom is downstairs smoking a cigarette. Amen? My dad would look for the bottle, he'd see it up there, and dump that thing down there. My mom would just be back there. If they weren't throwing chairs at one another. She was fine. She had another one hid. She was surrendered to it. Lust and sin, fallen prey to temptation, and it'll bring surrender. It'll bring sorrow. Cry and cry and cry. It'll bring suffering. At the end of that thing, what happened with my mom? At the age of 59 years old, she got smart. Not at the age of 59, at about 45, when I graduated from high school, she divorced my dad, and my dad had it coming. And then she went and married another jackrabbit that was a boozer too. This guy was worse than my dad. She was working. She's working at a convenience store, living in efficiencies, and finally wound up getting kind of a nice place to live and this, that, and the other. You'd go in there with your family, both of them smoked. And you'd want to go see your mom. And we would have to bring all, eight of us, mom and dad and six kids. We'd have to all bring an extra set of clothes because when you walked into that place, it was just a... I was smoking Marlboros at that point. Terrible. 59 years of age, she had a major heart attack. Excuse me, 57. At 59 years of age, she sold some, and my mom wasn't a druggie, she drank. She sold too many boxes of Maxed brand nasal decongestant. She was working in a convenience store to a federal agent, and the next thing she knows is she's got a judge that's given her 8 years in a federal prison. You see the digression? I want to say the progression of temptation and lust and sin, but actually, and that's what the world says that it is, it's a progression. You're getting up. You're going up. You're stepping up. You're getting up in the world. No, it's a degression. And at 59 years of age, a woman judge down in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, sentenced my mom to 8 years in a federal prison. Can you imagine that, brother? You know what that's the consequences of? You know what that's the equal signs of? Lust, sin, and death. I'll close right there. But you know, as she was in prison, you know what she got was able to do? She had to follow another authority. She got a break from that life in that she was helped and didn't get to drink anymore. And actually that thing that happened in her life, which looked so heinous and so rough, was the thing that gendered life for her, because if she would have kept on that path, she would have been dead a lot sooner than had she been at, she died at the age of 70, 72. Lust, sin, and death. She had help to resist the urge. She was able to endure the temptations by not being around it. It has nothing for you. And so I'll close by saying this. How's the battle in your temptations today? Don't take that LSD. Are you being drawn by something else? What pill are you living for, possibly? As Christians, we should live for the gospel. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this message. Lord, we pray that you would help us in these areas of temptation not to be deceived. Lord, that on a daily basis, Lord, as we're hard-working, common people, that we would have the victory. And that, Lord, we would be victorious in the temptations that come our way. You said that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We thank you for the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood that you shed. We thank you that you said that if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that you would give these brothers and sisters the strength to be able to put up with temptation. And Lord, those things that the devil throws in their way, Lord, to try to get them off track, to try to cause death, to try to cause derailment, to try to cause them to walk in darkness. God, we ask these things, Lord, for your honor and glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.